All right. Well then, how about if I officially start us up here?
Okay.
This is the... What should we call this? How about if we call this the Hello HP Fanfics podcast?
I guess so. But I mean, are you primarily just dealing with like the JP Hit people, or are you dealing with other people that you know?
Well, the other people that I know online who are HP people are from JPM, which died and was reborn as JPC, and they tend to be, what's a good term for it? Sex negative?
Ooh. Well, but compared to us, we're more,
the land of dropping pants.
Well, yeah, that's probably the hardest part about it, is that, we have a lot of the promotion towards that. But it's like, I know you don't have access, but if you look at everyone, you know, the one who replied in the thread, you know, there's the profile picture, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a word that says ecchi.
Oh, that's the people who've been approved to look at the porn stash.
Yeah. That's why if you look at everyone who's answered, you're the only one who didn't have it. But see, the thing is that we're the type where, you know, we don't push it onto people. It's just we just have it in our heads already. It's perfectly fine.
I'm not really sex negative. It's just that the people from the other website get kind of creeped out by fan fiction.
Oh, I see.
It's like, oh my gosh, you're writing fanfics about real people.
Oh, so they're kind of more of fanfic type. Like, they're non fanfic people, or they're just more of,
well,
they don't like certain stuff in their stories.
Well, these are the same people who are, in many cases, squealing yaoi fangirls.
Oh, okay, I see.
But for some reason, stories about sex between cartoon characters is okay, but sex between people that actually have corporeal bodies is not.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, I've met people who are like that though. Mm-hmm. So, understandingly. Yeah. Yeah, I think especially that when you start writing though, the one aspect might be is that you want to promote some type of interaction between the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not in the relative of, you know, going that forbidden, but I think some type of connection between them two. Mm-hmm. So I guess people have that limit. Mm. Limit there too, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Now, usually when I write fanfics, I put a disclaimer at the top of the story saying that the following story is based on the public images of HP idols and does not mean to imply anything whatsoever about the private lives of the people behind the images.
I think in general, when you, even if you put the disclaimer, I think it becomes assumed.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think in the community that if you do write it, and then you have to, you know, the same people who read the material, who comment on the material, they have that, their disclaimer is already there. And I think that's, particularly, you don't have to do it to really get to people, because I think if you know what it is, it's already assumed.
Mm.
So And but I mean, I can understand it. I guess from when you're like the first one starting it, like you just broke it open. You just break in the new stuff in there. Mm-hmm. So people who are relatively new to it, they don't understand what it actually means. So, you know, they put in the comments, like, oh, okay, you know, there's this and that. Then you put in the disclaimer. But for many of us who have, you know, read, we've written, we've, you know, published it all, it's just already assumed. Mm. So I guess in a better way is that has people come up to you and, you know, has people come up and say that, oh, you know, do you know something that we don't know? Or is it like... Or it's like, you know, it's perfectly fine to just talk about the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know absolutely nothing.
the thing is that I would have probably assumed that no one has asked about that. Mm-hmm. And if they have, then they don't know what it really means. Mm-hmm. And I guess you would have to explain that. But in general, I think it's more assumed than anything else.
Now, speaking of strange assumptions, on the other website, just to take a short detour away from fan fiction for a moment, a topic came up which wound up being completely split on gender lines about the opinions for it. And
okay.
The topic was, do HP idols all have boyfriends that they keep secret from the public?
From understanding the rules, I would probably think so. But however, you know, what I think if it was more true, you know, to answer the question, I think they would have a lot more rumors than anything else. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. and the thing is that sometimes when they're a little too close, then they take that weird assumption that, you know, they might have it, but I really don't think so. Honestly, I don't think so. Yeah. Just because it's not like it's the forbidden part about it. It's just I think there's not enough stuff to work ourselves up to getting to that fact. I think there's just so much things they gotta do in between stuff that I don't think they have one. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if rumors do come up.
Mm. Well. Okay, the split along gender lines was that all of the guys who weighed in on the subject felt that an HP idol having a boyfriend was an aberration and would happen only very occasionally. And all of the girls all were of one mind saying, oh, obviously they all have boyfriends.
I think it's just, if it was meant to be a cover-up, you know, somebody would have probably broke the story when Yaguchi had her stuff, mm-hmm. Nachi had her stuff, Miki had her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have got blown up, but something like that, I think you can't keep secret for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So, in general, I don't think... That's right. It's like, I totally understand both sides of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand both answers. But I think it's where, unless someone actually can, you know, really break it open, because I think it's been too long to even say that they actually have one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in my own opinion, I think the main problem lies in the fact that a lot of the girls who were weighing in on the subject were also Johnny's fans. And the Johnny's fandiverse or the assumptions that the Johnny's fans make and the assumptions that the HP fans make are completely contradictory. Because the Johnny's fans think that that their favorite idols sleep with everybody in Tokyo.
Actually, to push that point too, honestly, and I think it was actually true, is that from the Johnny's side, they actually have more free range on it. So I'm not too surprised to even hear that. But that's why it's a very controversial subject. In where, how do the boys, they get more free range than what you get with HP or AKB, even along those lines?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would probably be the hardest thing to even, put into mind though. Is that because from what I've heard, Johnny's don't have that rule. They don't have the no dating rule. Right. They have a lot of free range.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of the people they're actually bringing in, they're young boys, is like they're trying to just make sure that, you know, they get famous, they're going to get there, and eventually they're going to pop up with somebody because they're already out of that bubble already. Mm-hmm. HP is just that bubble. AKB is just that bubble where if you don't make it out, you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm. Well, also, the Johnny's Entertainment boys don't have the risk of becoming pregnant themselves.
Mm.
Whereas, I think that to me, the biggest issue I would think would be that if let's say one of the 12-year-old HP girls got pregnant, like Cannon, Suzuki, or Ryo Sasashi, how long do you think HP would exist after that? Probably about 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So the stakes are really, really, really high.
Oh, yeah. Now, honestly, yes, I think that's probably the truth right there. And that's why they have it. But especially coming from understanding everyone, is that I think it's harder for them to really approve of everyone. And I don't think so, because if it was the case, I think HP wouldn't have really existed beyond how long they've been. And that's probably why I would say no to the main question though.
Right.
So
okay. Now getting back to fan fiction. I guess the first topic of the evening is, which stories are you reading now?
If I had to be realistic on it, I've actually tried to catch up on all the ones I've actually been reading. Mainly, I read everyone.
Wow.
Along the lines. Because I think I've commented on yours before.
Mm-hmm.
There's SE, there's Rokun, there's Oddball, there's Serang Eye, there's Kavai Beam.
Mm.
Ooh, I can name all the authors, and I've pretty much read their stories. Wow. I don't have to say the title. It's just a lot of them is I read their stories just straight up.
Okay. Yes, I've been enjoying many of the stories, but I've been finding it intimidating since I'm a recent newcomer to J-Hip, to try to tackle one of the stories that have already been going like 50 chapters.
Yeah, that by itself is a real tough one. I actually, when I first joined, I had the same situation. When they had a Ishiyoshi story going, it was already close to 100 chapters.
Wow.
And I actually went into it, I read every single one coming back up. And I think she just recently ended that one a while back. So, but I think intimidation factor, yeah, but I think you have to concentrate on what the new stories that are going to be coming up along the way, or the ones that just recently started, and I know that by itself is going to be a real tough one. I think for anybody who's come in, they have to like reread the whole thing, whatnot. But I think if you take your time and you try to work yourself up to the new chapter, you eventually get there. Or you can just kind of, I'll be perfectly honest. Some of them, I did skim through it, and then I understood the whole storyline, you know, with the next chapters coming up. So kind of work your way into what the storyline is. And it may be a shock, but I think there's a lot of people who've done that. I wouldn't be surprised by it. And I know some who are very diligent and they'll go through every line. But as long as they can get to where the story is right now, I think it'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah, some of the ones I have been following are When the Sun Sets, the Lame Joke series, Tsukai Berries Gouken, and Afterlife.
Yeah, those are mainly the
newer ones.
The long time authors that have been there. Yeah, pretty much. I mean it's nothing. My thing is just primarily that if you have to go on following a lot of them, you have to make sure that you understand all the storylines along each path. And that's why many people don't choose to take that path every one and go read it.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, I guess this might be my projection, but I kind of think that some people will only read the stories that feature the pairings that they support.
I'll say yes for the 90%. I'll tell you that. I'll say yes for the 90%. Because I know certain ones that actually have that issue. And the thing is, I don't blame them, but I wish they were kind of more open to it. But then some of them that, because they particularly take on the thing where, you know, they only would particularly go for the one author because they don't understand that how this author writes. And that's what's kind of harsh about it sometimes, is where that we don't know who reads them. Particularly, we shouldn't care. But I think if in the end that we know that they appreciate the story without even commenting, we can tell. But most of the time, we don't know. And I think that's primarily what is the hardest thing about keep on being motivated on writing in general.
Well, I try to keep myself motivated by keeping track of the thread views, so that if the thread views aren't incrementing, that means that, well, no one's reading the story. But if they are incrementing, then it means that, yes, people are reading your story, don't worry.
Well, the thing is, I think primarily is where it shows that people are it shows people are reading. But you know, the thing is, you want to know who they really are and what type of things they really want out of it. To be personally honest, that's why that thank you button is actually a very good thing for me. Because then I know who has been there. And that's why I can catch interest of whoever does read it. Because I know who my readers are. That's probably the most easiest thing to figure out, especially from my own point of view. I can tell. But it's sort of just that thing where you just like, you know, you kind of wish that you could kind of sell it a little bit more. But you can't really do it. Because that's kind of forcing the issue with other people.
Now, here's an interesting question. Which pairings do you particularly support in terms of like stories?
Honestly, none. None. My particular reason why is because I think that people who concentrate on one pairing, they get themselves so wound up that you can throw a lot of the stuff out of the way and you know they're not going to read any material of anybody else's. Unless it's the particular author itself. And that, you know, I mean from personal experience, I know that there's one person who don't read a lot of my stuff, because that's how it is, though. It's just totally wound up into their own view of how they see it, that they don't even bother.
I think I probably support some of the pairings, but on one level, I do have to say that I probably support no pairing, just simply because in my own mind, even though I think that there probably are girls who have come through HP who've had girlfriends in relationships while at HP, I think if they have, we don't know about it. That they've really kept it like on the down low. And anything that we do see isn't really true. It's just sort of fan surface.
Yeah, actually, that's probably true beyond all reasonings. But I think in particular, there's one where you can obviously tell, and it's they have that connection with them, and that's probably the only one that I can truly believe in that they actually been that type of couple. And that's the only one I can truly believe that, you know, anything you write cannot match up to what the actual reality of it is.
In which coupling was that?
You take Ishiyoshi.
Ishiyoshi. Yeah, I actually do support that. Although on a more like a manga type level than actually believing it.
The thing is that if you watch some others, I wouldn't say particularly their stuff, but I think their relationship becomes it's much deeper than what other pairings are in general.
Well, they've been professionally associated with each other for some 11 years now, so you'd hope so.
But they've been the type where there's a lot of show stuff to it, and I don't think there is really any mask around it. I think it's kind of true. I'm trying to think of the show though. I think it was happened in December 2009 when the ex members came into the show. And they were talking about, how pretty much is that, have you guys had, any type of male mates to it? And sort of what Rika said is that Yossi has been that male mate because she's more of the masculine type. Or she builds up sort of that masculine aura towards her. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of funny was that, because that not only they were in the group, they were actually doing, they kind of went beyond the stuff after they left. And I think with a lot of that personal space being crushed out by that, they eventually kind of developed that relationship. Mm. Because if you go on into history, they were not particularly likeful of each other. They weren't. Because Rika was too girly and Yossi was just too masculine type. Mm. But then when you kind of put them together, they kind of create that nice, interesting couple. Mm. That I think what many people tend to believe, but also that, Rika developed a sort of high maintenance type of profile too. So it's kind of hard for any male to match up to that, in general. Mm. So, it's not like it's all the pieces set up them for it to be, but they're probably the closest to that, in my own personal opinion.
Mm. Yeah, I think I wrote a post on the pairings thread where I came up with my own kind of narrative for Yossi's love life in HP, trying to unify all of the fandoms with the idea that Yossi and Rika are sort of an on again, off again type couple. That at some point Yossi says, "Hey, that Rika, she's hot." And they get together, and then the next morning Yossi looks around and says, "Oh my god, Rika's room is so pink, it looks like someone has fire hosed it with Pepto-Bismol," and loses interest.
I think there's one person who wants to hear about that and would probably gladly go argue against that. But I think honestly that Yossi has probably played the Playboy character so much that, I think anything really could happen, and that's and but then Yossi also has that character where she, because she's been a leader, that she has to sort of comfort them, along that path. So it's sort of like she was sort of trying to be girly, develop to be more masculine, develop yourself back to being girly again, but then with a motherly touch. And by the time it ends, well, I could take all these paths again, but just kind of stick to what I'm good at, Yeah.
I think what's interesting though is that I've been following some of the blogs for Dream Musume, and it seems to me, or at least my own theory is, that when Rika got to the Dream Musume rehearsals, she was all like, oh great, I get to hang out with Yossi. And then suddenly, death stare from Fujimoto Miki.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay. Tiptoes away. So
yeah. No, well, I mean, if you, well, then again, you've gone into more of the deeper history of it, or are you kind of looking at more of the surface for those type of things? You understand why there's that, or you sort of like, wow, you know, this is still interesting to me yet?
Well, it's all like armchair quarterbacking or just making up fan narratives. I don't know anything that goes on behind the scenes.
Well, we all don't, but I can't say I've been a recent fan. Actually, I've been a fan for a while. Mm-hmm. That there's actually something between them two. Mm. That even if, you know, I think Mickey eventually just really didn't care anymore. And I think there's still a little bit of animosity between them two. It still kind of shows, you know, especially when them two being together, that where Mickey gets kind of annoyed of Rika just being there. It still shows, but wasn't as bad as when Mickey first came into the group.
Mm. True. But
the thing is that what we bring up as fans shouldn't, we really don't know, but we just sort of push that story across. Mm. So it looks kind of, so we can get people to believe us, don't believe us, whatnot. So, you know, it creates the conversation, creates sort of that fanfare that, you know, I think many of us crave, though.
Fan service.
Answer. Well, some of it is fan service, but I think most is what we tend to, you know, see out there.
Hmm. Well, I do know that supposedly, recently, Rika and Makoto went on a date. So,
yeah,
that would add fuel to the theory that the Yossi and Mickey were somewhat exclusive at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it could also just simply mean nothing.
Yeah. But that's why many people can build that up and try to push it. But I mean, I kind of take the point where I see what happens and goes, well, it's normal. It's normal along a lot of lines, is that they have to kind of, they got to sort of adapt that they cannot have boyfriends, but it can't be very, but I think it's kind of hard where, you know, that they cannot really do the type of things what normal girls do. So they just kind of like, you know, hey, we just go out and they just call it dates. Just so, you know, we all feel whatever is that way, yeah?
Now, there's one pairing, though, which I have a really hard time supporting on any level other than friendship. And that would be Takagaki. I mean, to me, it's like, guys, they've been best friends for how many years? And suddenly they're going to be lovey-dovey? That doesn't make any sense at all.
I think particularly for that pairing, though, it's sort of that deeper relationship. Maybe not so much friendship at a very shallow level, but I think it's sort of the amusement of what a par couple in recent HP times might be.
Okay,
that's probably the best way to interpret it. I don't know how far you can go with that, but I think that will create a new sort of twist to it. And I think when you know, I does graduate, it pretty much takes a lot of it out of the picture.
But, Lo, I do kind of support a lot of the popular pairings. It's just that some of them is kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I understand, though. I understand from where you're coming from, though. But, you know, like I said, for me, though, is where, because I've written so much stuff with different pairings, that it's hard to just say I have one favorite one. It's just hard, though. And I think that's, but that's what kind of adds the mystique to other people, is that I know many, they've just stuck to the one pairing. And they just roll with it, and just because they have that talent to express their story so well, that many people just look beyond the fact that they only have that one pairing in their holster.
Now, another pairing, which I, now for me, there's a pairing which I kind of hold at a higher level of believability than Ishiyashi, in terms of believing, you know, if they came out and announced it, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And that would be Reina, Tanaka Reina and Mitsui Aika. Just simply because they're together, they blog about hanging out together a lot.
Well, you know the, well, okay, you know about the Tanaka Army, right?
Yeah.
The Yankee Army. Now, particularly, I think that might be the cases where it has that sort of master-apprentice type of relationship with them, rather than a very deep relationship with them. Let's go see. Primarily, I think it's just because they have that sort of that writing relationship, as that they were kind of being that the youth, and it wasn't that kind of annoyance that you get with when Koha was there. So, you know, like, now I'll just be perfectly honest, but I think is where, then again, Sayu was actually concerned for Koha, so you need someone to take care of the next person that was coming in. So I think that's how they got their relationship going. But I think it's a really good good friendship. However, you know, there's so many other stuff, but I think for them it's more of that relationship type thing.
Yeah, so one thing I have noticed in HP fanfiction is that you don't get a lot of stories with Kusumi Koharu in them.
Okay. As a person who has written one story, primarily it's just because I think because of the pairing issue.
Yeah.
She only has one.
Yes.
And that's primarily hard enough to do when you only have one. Like, Aika has one. Reina is... I've noticed the same thing. But the main reason why is because the flexibility among members getting into certain pairings. I is very versatile. Sai becomes versatile. Reina becomes versatile. Eri was very versatile. You know, it kind of moves along the way, that where the versatility of many of them outdone any other people. That's why even going into first or second generation, that's probably even non-existent. Third and fourth are very close in between, though. maybe not the younger side, but the Rika and Yoshi were very familiar to Gomaki on those on that level.
I have my own fan narrative that when Yoshi first came into HP, Maki was like her first like girlfriend, and it lasted like 6 months, and it was pretty professional wise with Puchimoni and stuff like that. But at one point, Maki just simply had to like take Yoshi aside and drop the bomb on her and say, Yoshi, I really like you and all that, but I'm going out with a bunch of Johnny's boys and they have penises and you don't. But that's neither here nor there.
That's sort of... actually, I mean, for her, I wouldn't be surprised when she actually transformed herself from when she was in the group and then when she went solo. I think that was probably the major attribution to that, where she had to kind of create that intrigue to get the people to come in. But I think for her is that she, like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think where but she but I think by herself she's more of the character that, you know, she wanted to experiment that one day and then lucky didn't get caught type deal. So I wouldn't be too surprised by that either. But you know,
now I don't know anything about their actual personal lives. It's just popular fan speculation.
Oh yeah.
Or as
always the thing, though,
as I like to call it, fanon.
Oh yeah, we all love doing that. we all have something to attribute to that, and that's what I think. That's what makes it, you know, makes it benefit for all of us. That we all want to get there. We all want to kind of make these type of things so it sort of works out for people. And I think many people catch on to it and say, "Oh, hey, this would be a great thing. Good sell." You know.
Yeah, I actually have a fanfic which takes literally one of the more ridiculous pieces of fanon that gets circulated. That Mitsui Aika has XY chromosomes. Which is
interesting.
Which is kind of ridiculous on the surface, considering that even though they usually keep her covered up, there are plenty of pictures out there from all through her career that shows that she's not built like a boy at all.
She
might act like a boy, but she's not built like a boy. She might dress like a boy, and she might look boy, but she has very noticeable endowment. In hips.
But then I also think about that. She hasn't. I don't think throughout her whole time she's gone longer than her shoulder for her hair.
I think when she started,
it was around shoulder length, but nothing past there.
I actually have a picture from the Kamishimi Twilight shoot, and her hair was about 3 inches lower than her shoulder.
But I mean, I guess throughout, you haven't seen it gone that long.
That's true. She's more known for shorter hair.
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone was shocked when Gaki actually went short.
That was shocking.
That was shocking. Same thing as I Going Blonde. Shocking.
In fact,
it sort of has that sort of weird thing to it. It's the weird vibe that you find.
There was a television show which predated Gaki cutting off her hair, where she tried on a short blonde wig.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was thinking at the time, oh my gosh, she's trying to get herself cast into a live action adaptation of Cutie Honey. But unfortunately, she never. I don't think she ever tried to rock a short redhead type, like Fire Engine Red type dude.
I don't think. Yeah, she's. I mean, that's. I like for her though, is that. I think it was just that experiment away from what she was working into. It's like she had the long hair for so long until she actually got it cut. And what was funny was that when it was cut, you know, everyone sort of got, you know, teased her, is that, oh, you know, everyone, especially on the fan level, was like, why the hell has she got a bowl haircut for?
Yeah,
it's weird, you know?
Yeah. I think the trouble was that the short haircut that she got wasn't as cool as the wig.
I think that, but also it was sort of the, you know, how many of them actually worked with short hair. She didn't have that real great look, but then looking at the photo book though, the one that she did in Hawaii, it sort of revealed a little bit more of her physique. I mean from the sort of thing is that you never notice that she, you know, has that unique body type where it's, there's nothing really noticeable.
Well, I think that Risa is very underrated as a model, because here's a girl who has the body of a boy and has put out like a dozen bikini DVDs.
Well, maybe not a dozen, though.
Okay. A lot.
Well, the only reason why I haven't managed to counter that is because, in general, she's actually, because of the fact that she's underrated as a model, she hasn't had as much as what her, you know, what I has had. Actually, even as far as, I think, areas even concerned like that. But I think it's just because the awkwardness with a lot of them, that's why we don't see the instant photo book every single year. What we have with Aichan.
Yeah, she keeps cranking them out.
She's actually been one every year for, if I'm not mistaken, about ever since she started.
Wow.
It's been at least one per year. If not, I think at a point it was about three in about 20 months or something like that. It was actually a pretty good amount coming out, that it was so desperate that we need another thing.
Well, I think one of the cute girls, Ayari, came out with two photo books within like 2 months of each other this year.
Yeah, I think it's one photo book though.
Oh, okay.
I think it's supposed to be a one photo book release, but had some type of situation after the tsunami, so it kind of look it kind of looked broken. It was supposed to be one, though, from what I've heard. Yeah.
Okay. So, trying to steer this back to fan fiction here.
Go ahead.
What stories would you recommend for people who want to start reading HP fan fiction?
Okay. For the stories, though, I would first introduce the authors. So I think if you once you know the authors, you know how their writing style is. And if you like adapt to their writing style, you can probably understand most of their stories, if not all. Primarily, it also kind of depends on what type of pairings you want too. And then I can probably recommend a very good author towards there. Because I know there's a lot of there's two main Takagaki ones. The other one is a Renai one, and the other one is mainly Berries.
Okay.
And you take those are the four authors I could probably name off the top of my head that they have established their own writings already.
Mm-hmm.
Going down to others, you find more of a mix, which I particularly like, though. I like from them is that, or that they don't particularly go with the one pairing system, they go with the whole group, create the intrigue in the whole story. But to recommend a story to someone, they have to understand what they want to buy, so you can figure out what to sell.
Interesting. All right. Well, since Takagaki, according to the pairings board, is by far and away the most popular pairing, other than we don't believe in pairings. We're into girl bonding.
Yeah, well, the girl bonding's been there for a long, long time.
Okay.
And I guess they did establish the pairing because it wasn't, because the girl bonding there was getting so packed up that it made no sense even doing it. So it has its own subtopic, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so who would you recommend for Takagaki?
Okay, we can go with Randy Weird, or you can go with Kawaii Bean, because those two are the main Takagaki ones who are still active yet. There's one more, but I don't know when he will come back. He's been busy, so yeah.
All right. Now, what about for people who want pairings in between, like the berries
berries particularly would be with Rokun, though.
Okay.
Oddball has a kids fic at this time, and that is primarily it, because I don't even recommend my own. So I know I've written a couple, and it's just hard for me to push it out there and go, well, you know, go read it and we'll see about it. But yeah, those primarily two, because like I said, you won't get anything else from them. So Oddball and Rokun for those two. For berries or kids in general.
Okay, what about for the fan pairing, which has the whimsical title Rainai Revolution?
Okay, that goes with just Essie straight up.
Essie.
Estra, you'll find hers. She's primarily that. She sort of mentioned it before where Takagaki isn't a real good setup, but Renai is. And it is, she had a, she has a laundry list of explanation on that. So I think in general that would probably be there. And that, that's what I said. I think there's so many different pairings that even to mention who, which, in which you want to do it, it'll probably be a hard sell for most.
Okay. And how about for the old school folks, Ishiyashi?
There are no active writers at this time. Okay. But if you want to read any of their stories, I think there is True Harmony story and what was the other one? Let me go do a fast check. I think okay. I read her stories actually a lot when it came out though. But then she doesn't have too much access right now, so it's a little more tougher. Actually, it's kind of way, way, way back. No, what is it? Kogiyoshi. Yeah. I know she's another one for Ishiyoshi. Other than that, that's probably the end for old school. Not so much. Yeah. I think Kogiyoshi is the only one that actually involved Ishiyoshi and Gomaki at the same time.
Wow.
And she has a real good story with that, which I really appreciate. Just don't have too much internet access, so can't do too much.
All right. Now, do you have any stories of your own that you would like to pimp?
Well, that one you have to ask on what you end up really wanting, and it's kind of hard though. That's right. Even for me, I don't really want to sell them because it's a real difficult way of understanding. I think what people want, and this is, I think personally for me, it might be a little harder. Like, you take the Reina Aika pairing. It's the one I'm doing now.
Okay.
The Rinka. Hooded Woman. The Rinka. Yeah. Rinka. That's okay. Let's see. I have one on hold for now, which features Gaki Kame. That is actually set up in to be from the North Shore of Hawaii. I'm not from that part of the island, but I know enough to sell the story. Anyhow, let's go see. I'm trying to remember. Oh, if you want a Takahashi Kame one, I have one for that one too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to remember all my things. Rival is a kid's one in general. Probably the only one that actually lasted long enough to make anything was the underpiece version Sniper Girl. I actually have two titles for it. I went from Sniper Girl to underpiece in that, and that is mainly a battle between Risako, Mia, and Irie. And that was probably the only one where it was basically story, comment, story, comment, story, comment, story, comment. yeah, rarely anyone went on commenting too much. So that's how it is most of the time for me, though. It rarely goes beyond the second another person's comment, though. So, you know, kind of weird thing is that I guess for me is that it's normal, but for others maybe like a little out of the, it'll be out of the ordinary on how they see it.
Well, as for me, I only have one story online currently.
Yeah, it's the Annoying Paradise one.
Yes.
Yeah.
A story bound to drive people crazy, in as much as it's two stories at the same time that intersect each other from different points of view. So you might have the same scene in two different chapters with completely different dialogue, just to annoy people.
Yeah, that's sort of understanding right there. Yeah. Yeah.
Along with the pretentious conceit that one part of the story is serialized in Shokami and the other is serialized in Shonen Jump. Or in other words, one is supposed to be from like a masculine point of view and the other is supposed to be from a feminine point of view. Now the story Annoying Paradise is actually concluding. Chapter 33 is going to be the last chapter of an Annoying Paradise, but that doesn't mean that the story stops, because I actually have two sequels in the works in various states of completion. And in the first sequel, what happens is that the story loses its sponsorship in Shonen Jump and in Shokami and has to scramble and winds up being serialized in two different mangas. Nakayoshi, which is a comic for very young girls and has like stuff, it used to have stuff like Sailor Moon in it as a point of reference, as well as Shugo Chara Egg, I believe. And the other one is Dragon Age Pure, which is a manga which will often have a lot of side stories from dating sims. And also the point of view, also the narrators change as well, as much as in An Annoying Paradise, the narrators are, the point of view is primarily from the girl side is the Aika character, and from the boy side is Kiriki, who's supposed to be like a boy version of the lead character of Kirarin Revolution. But in the sequel, Reina becomes one of the lead, or becomes one of the points of view. And in something that will certainly annoy the heck out of anyone who's already reading it, the story becomes a magical girl show. Becomes a magical girl story. But that's not the worst thing. The second sequel, which is called, well, the first sequel is called An Annoying Paradise Lost. The second sequel is An Annoying Paradise Deno. And it's a Monster of the Week, like Saturday morning live action show. Which is like built around Kamen Rider Deno. Where Aika finds out that she has to battle these monsters from the future in song battles, and has to defeat them, or else that they'll be able to remove certain songs from the world, which can cause havoc.
I see, though. I see. Yeah.
Now, in Common Rider Deno, the idea was that all the battles were like fisticuffs and beating the heck out of each other. So I decided to make the battles the same type of battles that they had in the Mermaid Melody Pitchy Pitchy Pitch.
Mm.
So at the end of the battle, the winner would say, "Do you want an encore?" Which causes the other person to like blow up or something.
Mm.
So if you're already reading that, good luck.
Yeah, trust me, there are a lot of stories out there that actually has a very interesting twist to it. And actually, that's how I got to understand a lot of what other people are really into, though.
Now, I have a question.
Okay.
I don't know if we covered this yet or not, but here's a question. Is there a fan pairing out there that you don't support? That if somebody puts out a story with that pairing, you're kind of scratching your head and saying,
Well, unfortunately, I'm the person writing all these weird ones, so if you actually go any more weirder than I do, good luck.
Well, I do have some strange pairings in another story, which I haven't put up yet, it's called Club Idol. This one has the pairing Kaori Aichan.
Well, okay, well, I can see where you can come in from there. So it sort of kind of goes longer of across generations. Mm-hmm. Type deal. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought my first thought that came into my mind when you asked the question was, it's where you rarely see the pairing, and really no one talks about it, and you just throw it out there just for the sake that's how your story would work.
Mm-hmm.
But the cross generation ones, yeah, that's kind of a rare feat.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually honestly, that goes into another side of the thing. You don't have access. I've done that before. But the unusual pairings, I've done it a couple of times. People are sort of hesitant on saying, well, you know, I really liked the pairing, so honestly. But then I also try to see what type of intrigue you can get out of it. That, you know, you have other people writing. If you don't have anybody else, then you're just on your own doing it, and then hopefully that someone will, like, oh, okay, hey, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, in finding weird ones, I haven't really switched it over to another page just because I didn't like it. I think is that the pairings itself, if you can sell the pairings, it'd be good. If you cancel the pairings, it won't work.
Mm.
Unfortunately, many people have gone that safe route where they got pretty known pairings and ran with it.
Mm. Actually, I think In Annoying Paradise has one pairing which I haven't, to my knowledge, I haven't really seen before, although I'm sure probably out there somewhere someone's already written about it. The pairing of, I guess you could call it Naki Sako. Nakajima Saki and Sugeya Risako.
Mm.
Two people who I put together for absolutely no reason whatsoever, except for the overriding reason that they're both hot and there shouldn't really need to be any other reason.
But I think it's unique. I don't see it as that, you know, people are going to get detracted from, because in general, if they don't like the story, then they probably won't care for it anyway. So I don't think it's a pairing. Most of the time, it's not pairing driven. It's more story driven. So I know a lot of people are more story driven than pairings driven. Although that many, I mean, in reading, it's just that when it comes to that, but then that's what you're going to expect from the person. That's why I can name certain ones that you're going to expect this is going to happen. Because that's their only thing that they ever do. And they won't, they rarely would change what the pairing is going to be, even though they change what the mood might be. So, I'll be perfectly honest. Many are I guess it's sort of a thing where, if pairings was the issue, then I think many won't even make a story to start with. But a lot of them is story driven, so you just write it out.
I did see one story a while back that was advertised as a crack story. Yeah, or a crack fic, and the main pairing was Mai Mai and Yuko. And the scariest thing was, though, we actually did have a picture for it.
I remember that picture, though.
of Yuko, like, shaking my vigorously for some unknown reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
True, though.
Crack stories.
Well, but I think that's why that's why it, a lot of it is a story-driven issue rather than a pairing-driven issue. And in general, that if people, you know, I think if people care to read a little bit more into other stuff, then I guess it wouldn't be too much of a problem. But I guess in the terms of reading, it becomes I can probably say particularly some people are, well, okay, maybe the majority is story driven, and I know a couple others, they don't care really what else they would want to read. If they do care, they just sort of, you know, they acknowledge that, but they won't go any more farther than admitting they actually read it.
Now, here's another one, another question. Is there any type of story that you think is not suitable for HP fan fiction?
Ew, honestly? If it was, it'd be pretty plain, and that's kind of hard to believe. I've seen the whole spectrum of it to all the different stories. Honestly, I think there's really nothing off limits unless you feel that it's off limits. And unfortunately, I for one have kind of pushed that even that aspect beyond all reasoning. That's why even for me to post some of them, it's kind of hard. hard for me to swallow. I wrote it and I want people to read it. But I know I can give it off to a couple other people who don't mind.
Well,
yep.
For me, I think that the type of stories which make me the most uncomfortable reading would be the horror stories, which feature a whole bunch of, like, the characters dying.
Okay. Unfortunately, I've written a couple of them like that too. Unfortunately, it involves someplace in the access area that you currently do not have.
The etchy zone.
The etchy zone, yeah.
Yes,
I've written that one story that actually involved a weird twist to it. Sort of, a lot of it is just with killing off people, but particularly it's just for a revenge factor thing. So sort of that suspense horror fic.
That makes me wonder if my story Club Idol would have to be put in the on the ecchi side. Even though it doesn't have any explicit sex scenes,
it won't go into the zone because it doesn't. It has to have, if it has that sort of theme, it will have to go into that one. But if it's just straight up horror stuff, it can just stay in the regular. It's not going to change too much. The only limit is with age and the theme. If the theme is explicitly sexual, it's going to go into that area. If not, it's going to stay into the general area.
Well, in the story, everybody's over 20. And everybody talks about sex as if it was like an episode of Sex in the City, but nothing is really like explicitly described.
Most likely it will just stay in the general area.
Okay, it's reassuring.
So in general, generally it's a tough one to it's very familiar. If you have sort of that scene that really you're going to describe it, it's going to go into that area. If not, it's just going to be in that regular thing. And the most likely the moderator will make the decision. If not, it's just going to stay in there.
Okay. All right, well, I've exhausted my topics, unfortunately. So, what would you like to say in general about fanfics to anyone who might be listening to this podcast?
One thing is that be open. If you're going to read it, you have to be very open to it. If you're going to, put reality into it, you're never going to understand what we're writing about. So that's kind of hard to, it's put into play in general. So.
Yeah. When I write fanfics, it's kind of like, I'm writing some do-rama and casting the HP people in. So it's not supposed to really be them. They're just playing parts. After all, Arena, Mano doesn't go around being chased by psycho killers every day. It's just a movie. It's just movies that she's done. Horror movies that she's done. So there's no more reason to think that fanfics are supposed to be real, any more real than any movie or drama or play that they're in. Okay, well, I guess that was our podcast. Even though I didn't introduce us at the beginning, I'll introduce us now. Resup 2 on JP Hip, and I've been talking with Kuro. And Obviously, we hang out a lot on the fan fiction boards, and occasionally, I guess, on the pairings boards. Well, then this has been the first Hello HP Fan Fiction podcast, and hopefully, we will see you back very soon.
And hopefully, with more people.
Yes. Hopefully with even more spirited cast.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, signing off.